Today is August 3rd, 2016, and this is episode number 371 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I can rhyme Horatio with War of the Roses to get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, except for that. You can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
And and if you want to hear Brian rhyming Horatio with War of the Roses, you'll have to find him at an event somewhere. That's something that just has to be experienced in person.
You've got years of relationship that went into that particular rhyming moment.
Well, you know, if people want to appreciate your humor, they're going to have to invest.
Oh, return on investment. Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's see here. What do we have? We have the interesting case of Apple running a Surface Pro commercial.
Now, wait a second. Surface Pro is not an Apple product. Why would they run an ad for something that Microsoft is making?
I know, right? Why would they do that?
Do you like that setup?
I do. I like that setup.
Awesome.
I do like that setup. So it's a new commercial, basically, that came out. And really, obviously, it's a commercial for an iPad Pro. And this iPad Pro is, you know, like you're typing on it and you're flipping the cover back and you got a stylus and you're writing on it and kind of like.
Yeah, see, Nightshade's kind of upset about this ad, too.
We talked for like an hour and 20 minutes setting up, getting ready for the show.
Yeah.
Nothing from Nightshade.
No, but she knows the show is on and she feels like she's part of the show. I need to start doing the introduction where we actually include Nightshade, I think.
That's probably, that would probably be for the best. Now, tell our listeners how old Nightshade is, because I bet you people do not know.
She is going to be 18 in a couple months.
18 years old.
That's right. Which means that in Colorado, she is still not old enough to drink.
Well, if I reach the ripe old age of 18, I would be cranky too.
I understand. Yeah, I'm assuming I would be. And I've noticed that typically when Nightshade decides that she wants to talk, it's, I'm assuming, because she has something that she wants to say about whatever topic we are discussing.
Yeah, well, I can hardly blame her. Okay. You know, if our listeners want to do that. Now, I know I said it in the preamble, but I think a lot of people probably just sort of, you know, the glaze over when we go over that, because for our long-term listeners, they've heard it a bunch of times.
True.
Right. But for if you're not a longtime listener and you don't know how to get in contact with us and you want to let us know what's on your mind, you can write us at acm@macobserver.com, or on Twitter, you can write us @ContextMachine.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? We're on Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter. Who knew?
Yeah, well, apparently we did, because we told everyone.
Right, right. But aside from us, the iPad Pro.
Right.
So this commercial basically features all of the things that Microsoft has been saying gives Surface Pro an edge over, you know, well, over MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
And iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And it really felt like watching a Surface Pro commercial. And it was a bit, you know, none of us should want Apple to be dogmatic.
Okay. I'll accept that.
Right. I mean, if Apple realizes that they made a mistake, we as Apple fans and fans of Apple's products, we should absolutely want Apple to correct that mistake. Still, you know, kind of like, I just kind of wanted to watch this commercial and like, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe see a, you know, a parenthetical, oops, Microsoft was right, or, you know, our bad, or.
Yeah, but we know Apple would never do that. That's not their way. What they would do is acknowledge obliquely that other people have done something or other companies have done something, but then drive home the point that finally we're doing it, which means it's being done right.
Yeah, right. You know, finally. Yeah, we know we said that you shouldn't need a keyboard or a stylus with an iPad, but that's because they all stink, and we've done it right.
Right. And in Apple's defense, you don't need a keyboard or a stylus with an iPad. They are fully usable without those accessories. Whereas a Surface Pro, you really need to buy a keyboard if you're going to use one.
Yeah, probably. I haven't spent any quality time with one.
Yeah, everyone I know that has used one and the couple people I know that have them have all told me that without a physical keyboard, the Surface Pro for them was useless.
Well, but how much of that is because they, you know, are they Windows users? Were they not in the mindset of...
The couple people that actually own them are Windows users.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of hard to know what kind of bias goes into that kind of feeling. Because if Windows users have been, you know, dogmatic in their Windowness, they could approach a tablet and never give using it without a keyboard a chance. It's entirely possible.
Sure. That's entirely possible. I'm guessing, though, that based on the way they were using the devices, that they really felt that they weren't functional without a keyboard. And not simply because they've always had a keyboard.
Okay, fair enough. We don't really know one way or the other, but fair enough.
But we're not going to let that stop us from passing judgment.
That's true. But either way, whichever the case for these two particular users, it's an absurdly small data set. So
no, it's not.
Doesn't prove.
Do you know how many people are really using a Surface Pro? I spoke to a substantial number of users.
A substantial percentage?
Yeah.
You know, Microsoft's been selling more of those things, though.
Yeah, you know where some of those stats are coming from? That they're selling more? Mm-hmm. It's when they did stuff like at, I think it was at Adobe Conference last year, where all attendees were just given a Surface tablet.
Yeah, it's only a few hundred, though.
No, Adobe Conference, you have a few thousand people there.
Yeah, even still, a few thousand is...
When you look at the number of people that are buying Surface Pro, again, substantial number. Anyhow, and for those of you that may be Surface Pro fans, good for you. It's okay. I'm fine with that. I still love you.
Do we have any Surface Pro fans amongst our audience?
I don't know.
Do you have a Surface Pro or do you want one? Do you like it if you do have it?
You know, I have heard that some people really like them as art tools. Like it's their favorite digital drawing and painting device.
More so than the iPad Pro.
I don't know if that includes people that have tried the iPad Pro, but compared to the iPad Air, there are many people that prefer creating their art on a Surface Pro. Of course, that means I have to get a stylus. But then again, if you're creating art on an iPad, you probably need to get a stylus as well.
That's true. And, you know, art was always the thing that made me mad about Apple Apple in particular, kicking styluses out of the Apple Store. I was always cranky about that from the standpoint of art. You know, art does need a stylus. You know, there's a reason why pens exist and paintbrushes exist. And it's not just because we don't want to get ink or paint on our fingers.
Right. Because sometimes we do want to get paint on our fingers. But
that's true. Sometimes, yeah.
But yeah, you need to have a stylus if you're going to be creating art on a tablet.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, Moreau.
That's a modern art joke there.
That was really good.
was it? I don't even think I pronounced it right. I think it's Muro. Well, I'm not even sure what I said.
Well, I thought that was part of the humor, and I laughed so much on the inside.
That if there's one thing I've said, it's that you know how to mispronounce a great artist's names to greatest comedic effect. If there's one thing I've said about you, it's that.
It's one of your endearing traits.
Yeah. No, you know it is.
You know, if people listen to the pre-show, meaning if we actually recorded it,
We would get sued, thrown in jail, laughed out of the Mac world.
Yep, and we would have a totally different demographic for the show.
Yeah. We would. So anyway, yeah, Surface Pro ad, it's interesting. It's like I said, I don't ever want Apple to be dogmatic, and Steve Jobs was not the poster child. I mean, he was the master of caring utterly about a thing until he no longer did.
And, yeah, that's true.
You know, moving on to that's like his career was built on being obsessive about something is the only way to do something until that moment that he completely threw it behind him, cast it aside, and moved on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so you know, if Apple wants to embrace the things that make the Surface Pro the Surface Pro, and they want to embrace those things in the iPad Pro, I mean, you know, we've long noted since the 12 inch, the 12.7 inch, in fact, 12.9 inch iPad Pro was announced last September, right? You know, we've been making the Surface Pro comparisons, talking about the keyboard and the stylus both. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's really new here is the fact that there was an iPad Pro ad that so seemed
Microsoftian
so much. Well, yeah, it that's the only thing that's new. So it's interesting.
All right. Well, what I'm wondering is if the market that Apple feels they need to be tapping for new iPad Pro sales is the type of market that will be more responsive to that type of an ad, meaning people that are using their devices in more of a professional business environment. And this, I don't know. I'm kind of grasping here.
No, I'm with you. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting also to see where Apple takes us in the future. You know, I mean, Steve Jobs certainly had his, you know, you got 10 of them on the end of your fingers and into your hands. Mm-hmm. Talking about styluses, you know, he said that a couple of times.
I like how you always have to correct yourself on that one.
I know, every time I say fingers, and it's the fingers that are anyway. You know, if there's one thing I've said about you is that you can't tell the difference between hands and fingers.
Well, you know, if they're small enough, Anyhow, so you were saying.
I'm not touching that one. So Steve Jobs made that comment several times. Other Apple executives have made the point that you shouldn't need a stylus to use a touch device. And I think Steve again said that if you need a stylus, you failed. All of which remains true even with the iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. But I think Apple fans have made more of Microsoft, including us, by the way, have made more of Microsoft's emphasis of the keyboard and even some of their stylus stuff. I think we've made more of that than Apple ever has. So therefore, it's not reasonable for us to be overly critical of Apple for embracing those things in an ad.
And yet here we are.
Well, context is king, especially on the Apple context machine.
Yes, indeed.
You know, if there's one thing I've said about you, it's that you know how to rhyme king and machine.
Yeah, you're the master of near rhymes.
Right. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if Apple embraces this more in the future. If Apple makes more of a big deal about the keyboard and or stylus. You know, and one of the interesting things is that though they show a stylus, they don't really emphasize the art that one can do with an iPad Pro.
Maybe they're going to do a series of these ads, and in mm-hmm. others, they will highlight the Apple Pencil more.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. No, I like that. That's good. That's good. That's good what you came up with.
I'm assuming we're going to get listener comments, and they'll be along the lines of, why is Brian doing that? And that's okay.
Sleep deprived?
Well, yeah, I was thinking we could just not tell people, and that's how we keep the mystery in the relationship.
Right. So, yeah, I slip into accents all the time. You gotta. It's sometimes I'm able to stop myself, and sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, well, I really want you to get into some lyrics for us too.
Yeah, let's not do that. All righty. So, what else do we have? We have. We have HeySiri.io.
And now there's all these people that are looking at their phones thinking, thank you, Brian, for doing that.
Didn't trigger mine. Yeah, HeySiri.io. Still didn't trigger mine. Sorry if I triggered yours. Beep.
What I usually do is say, yo, Siri, on shows.
Right.
And then that's my way of not accidentally triggering someone's iPhone.
But you're a better person than me.
And I tend to not slip into accents as often as you.
Yeah, it's still a better person.
This is how people can tell us apart.
Right. It's the only way. So,
yeah, because when we're together.
Anyhow. I-O. That's hey-siri.io. A site that's been making the echo chamber rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because it lists the 513 commands, 1,267 variations, 36 categories, and two languages. Why only two languages? Really?
Maybe that's all they've done.
That's all they've done, right. So yeah, it lists 513 commands with 1,267 categories, variations and 36 categories that you can ask or command Siri, ask of or command Siri to do.
It's a wonderfully useful site because it makes it so much easier to figure out how to talk to Siri to accomplish the tasks that you want to accomplish.
Right, but
that sentence kind of got away. Okay, go ahead.
The fact that, and I've got to give Adam Christensen of Maccast fame in our morning meeting today, he raised this question. Does the existence of this site represent a failing for Apple?
That's a really good question, and I don't know if it does. It may feel like it today, but it may just be that we are in a phase where this technology is evolving, and we're just at the early part of it. And because of that, we have to use more structured language to accomplish what we want. And that's going to change over time.
Well, so the argument behind this, though, is that a site like this, it kind of goes back to the whole instruction manual thing. Do you remember when Apple first started making a deal about the fact that the setup manual mm-hmm. for iMacs?
Yeah, it was like a fold-out card.
It was like a fold-out card. It's like 3 pages or 5 pages or something like that. And or you know, Jeff Goldblum, of course, narrating. There's no step three, right? Take it out of the box, plug it in. There's no step three. And what if that absence from Apple had been met with websites and PDFs dedicated to setting up your iMac because you needed it?
Well, we kind of did have that, because there were always the Apple fan sites that were more than ready to offer up their tips, tricks, and ideas for getting our brand new iMacs up and running.
Yeah, but there weren't dedicated websites for it. How to set up your iMac.com.
Yeah, that's true. I do not remember finding sites.
iMacsetup.com. It's one thing to do and quite frankly, I don't actually even remember tips for that back then. You have tips, you know, you'd have tips for migrating your files.
Yeah, you know, that's
or
true.
Or migrating from Windows to iMac, but I don't remember any content along the lines of this is how you set up a Bondi Blue iMac.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there were sites for different ways to hack your iMac, but that's a completely different thing.
And my point there is that Apple matched the simplicity that it implemented and bragged about. Right, the results matched that, and the idea here, the idea that Adam brought to us, was if a site could be so popular, and it's one thing, of course, for someone to put up a site. It's another thing for everybody on the planet to be talking about it. By everybody on the planet, I mean the echo chamber. I mean the Mac blogosphere.
Sure.
Right. You know, and it, the fact that everybody's talking about it shows that it's useful and it has an audience, and that it's something that was needed, and then the follow up, I guess, the, you know, part two of that question is, does this mean that Apple has failed in getting Siri to understand us? Because, you know, not only is there this subset, but there's this subset of things that Siri can understand, and it's large enough that people want to go and find that out.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I offered up one possibility, which is that we're just at an early phase in all of this. And therefore, it's not quite as natural as we expect it to be and as it will be. But the other side of it is, this is really complicated. And we have something that's been presented to us as essentially the Star Trek computer in our pocket, meaning you just say whatever you want and it knows what you mean and it does it. And Apple really hasn't done anything to dissuade us from thinking that. Therefore, they do kind of have a responsibility to give us the very natural voice control that they're implying Siri offers.
Well, I think I can one up that, Jeff, because Tim very specifically talked about at WWDC, and was it maybe Phil Schiller and Craig Federighi in their interview with John Gruber, where they talk about how their focus with artificial intelligence is Siri. Is teaching Siri how to understand us and how to put the context of the things that we say, the kinds of meaning that we as humans take for granted in our daily activities and our daily interactions with other people. You know, teaching Siri how to truly understand what we mean, rather than to simply recognize certain phrases and then vomiting out some kind of information related to that phrase that it recognized.
Sure.
Right. So we know that Apple was working on this because Apple executives have specifically stated it. And because it's probably going to be a perpetual work in progress for years and years and years to come, you know, we'll see steady improvements. But is... I don't know. I guess at the heart of my monologue here is that there's something to what Adam is saying. There's something to the idea that Apple has in some way failed or fallen short to create a market opportunity for a site like hey-siri.io to exist and for people to want it and be talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I will grant you that. There's a lot that I do find frustrating about Siri. And it comes down to Siri just simply not understanding what I'm trying to do. And that makes a site like hey-siri.io very useful. And yeah, and so in that sense, Siri today has fallen far short of the promise that Apple has presented to us.
Yeah, I've got a gamer friend whose online game handle is Ant, A-N-T.
Okay.
And he comes up with very clever variations, derivatives, derivations of Ant, you know, like, you know, DV Ant and...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see what you mean.
You know, yeah. So, you know, and with the, anyway, I'm the kind of gamer that I like to use people's game names. So when I added him to my contact, to my address book, I added him as Ant, just first name, Ant.
Okay.
And Siri would not call him. Siri would not. It's like, call Ant. I'm sorry. I don't know what you mean. Call Ant. I don't know what you mean. And just refused to see, even when I, and I won't say his actual name, but I ended up making his actual first name his last name, so it's like Aunt Bob.
And then Siri thought you were referring to a relative, right?
Still not getting it. She's still not getting it. But, you know, those are minor little things.
Okay.
I think that Apple's on a great path with Siri. Uh-huh. I think that we're not there yet. And we may never be there. Siri is the kind of thing that should be developing and progressing for many, many years to come.
Well, considering some of the companies that Apple has purchased, I'm guessing that they're working really hard to make the more natural language communication with Siri that we've been promised a reality.
Well
to make
so.
It a reality sooner as opposed to later, actually.
Yeah, I hope so. I do fear that one of the things that's holding Apple back is its desire to keep a lot of the AI stuff on our devices. I worry about that. I worry about whether or not that, you know, that means that the competition is going to be able to outpace Apple in the field of artificial intelligence.
Maybe. I mean, right now it appears that way, but artificial intelligence is a really broad thing and it's really complicated and there's a lot of nuances. So today, looking at what's happening, we may think, yeah, this isn't something that Apple can keep up on because they're not aggregating information about us in the way that Google does for Google Now. But that may be a short-lived thing. It could be that because of the way artificial intelligence is progressing, that Apple can remain competitive and keep information local so that they don't know about us.
Right. Yeah, maybe, hopefully. If it can be done, Apple will figure it out.
I think so. Yeah, and if you look at where technology is today, I'll use the iPhone as example. So here we are coming up on year 9 of the iPhone. And if you compare what we have right now, the iPhone 6S, to the original iPhone, the bar of soap iPhone, it's as if the device from 9 years ago was stone knives and bearskins. And that's in less than a decade that we've made this transition. So who knows where we'll be 5 years or 10 years from now with the technology.
Right.
We've already surpassed the point where we have a supercomputer in our pocket.
It's true.
Which is kind of cool when you think about it.
It is. It's very cool. It's very cool. And, you know, in the meanwhile, whether or not Apple should have made it where we didn't need something like this service, hey-siri.io, it is there. And if you are looking for a list of things that you can actually ask of Siri or tell Siri to do, it's handy. Should we go over some examples?
Yeah, we should. And I just realized I closed the window accidentally. Go me. Oh.
Okay, what window?
The one where I have some of the commands from the site.
Right. Movies with Brad Pitt is an example. Best thriller movies. When was Free State of Jones released? Who acted in the Angry Birds movie? Those are all things you can do. For music, you've got play, previous, next, skip, pause the song, play the song from the beginning. That's a good one. I didn't know that one. Repeat the song. That's a good one, too.
That is pretty cool.
Play a song by an artist. Play a song by an artist after this song. That's good.
That's good. I like that you can tell Siri to turn Wi-Fi or Bluetooth on or off.
Yep.
You can do the same thing with Do Not Disturb. So that's kind of cool.
Yep. You can, during podcasts, you can tell her to skip X amount of time forward. For instance, people listening to our podcast may go, skip 50 minutes forward. That's a good idea. I'm gonna tell you, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, because it takes us about 50 minutes to get in the groove so we can wrap up the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, here's one I have to try. You can tell Siri to change the color of your lights. I've never thought to try that.
For HomeKit stuff?
Yeah, through HomeKit. So I have some Hue bulbs, and I can tell Siri to change their color.
So, for instance, let's see if I can't find what I'm looking for. If you were curious as to... change my lights to Biloxi. Atomic tangerine. I want my room to be chickadee. Hey Siri, make my lights chickadee colored.
Actually, these are just random. I don't think that Siri would actually recognize those colors, but I mean, like, what I was actually thinking of was things like chartreuse. I mean, like, you know, who actually knows what chartreuse looks like?
I don't know.
Do you?
Let's see if we can get Siri to actually change my lights. Hey Siri, turn my lights blue.
Blue, coming right up.
Holy crap! The lights in my place all just turned blue. They were all off, and now they're on, and they're blue.
But we should point out, by the way, Jeff has multi-hued LED lights. she's not magic. She's not a wizard.
No, she's not a wizard. Hey Siri, turn my lights chartreuse.
Chartreuse.
Oh, holy crap! My lights are chartreuse. Seriously,
is it a green?
Yeah, she even spelled chartreuse correctly.
Oh, see that? That's very magenta. What's the magenta look like?
I don't know. Hey Siri, turn my lights magenta. I'm so glad we do this video show.
I couldn't find anything closer than fuchsia.
That is awesome, man.
and she changed the lights.
That is so awesome. I want to know, is that snark or you know, just like, did someone make that happen? Right?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
What you mean. So I don't know if that's like Siri trying to genuinely be helpful, or if that's Siri just being a clever little assistant.
Yeah, all this freaking, by the way, but someone's neighbors somewhere right now are wondering what kind of party one of our listeners is having.
That's right. And you know, I always apologize for actually doing commands during a show, but not this time, because changing your lights, people, we're having a party together.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
And I really hope someone was listening and their lights in the room changed along with mine.
That would just be the most absolutely awesome. Absolutely. I can't find anything closer to that fuchsia. That is so, and the funny thing is that fuchsia was the color I was trying to remember in the first place.
Oh,
when
I went
looking for chickadee and biloxi and whatnot.
Well, there you go. So, my lights right now are very fuchsia.
All right, I will start filling
you
up this.
You just want me to sit here and change the color of my lights.
Yes.
On our video show.
I can't find anything. Sorry, you need to do a video tip for this.
Yeah, I can totally do that.
You should totally do this. And because absolutely. Yeah, this is a great idea for a video tip, don't you think?
It is. I have to figure out how to stage this, but yeah, we can totally do it.
Fair. Yeah. All right. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Thanks.
I come up with the ideas. It's your job to. It's your job to actually do them.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right. One more. Hey Siri, turn off the lights, please.
Okay, the lights are turned off.
Thank you.
Are you in the dark?
No, because we have the burning skyball thing. The sun.
Oh, right. That, yeah, I've heard about that thing. That's what you see. That's what you see when you go out and the sun's on the other side of the sky, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this. It's kind of interesting. All right. Let's see here. We have a couple of pieces of good news or accomplishments. Braggadocio, even.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, Tim Cook sent out a couple tweets today. This is Wednesday when we're recording. Wednesday, January 3rd.
Obviously, no, before the sun has set.
August 3rd. I like to call it. Sometimes I refer to this month as August. Why did you say
January?
No idea. January 3rd? Where did I come up with January 3rd?
I don't know.
I mean, I got the date. I got the number right in the month. Anyway, it's August 3rd.
Yeah, I will verify that. Today is August 3rd. I could ask Siri, but, you know, I don't need a computer to tell me everything.
Right. And for the record, this year, January 3rd was a Sunday, because that's the important takeaway. August 3rd. It's Wednesday, August 3rd. And today, Tim Cook put out a couple of tweets. He said two things, and I'm stalling while I get to him. The first was July was a record breaker for the App Store. Bang. Highest ever monthly billings and money paid to developers.
That's pretty cool.
A record breaker. Now, that's something considering that Apple's services business, which is certainly more than the App Store. But the App Store makes up a significant portion of its services business. But Apple's services business is more than a $20 billion a year company now, business. Right?
That's so, big business.
Yeah, having a record breaker in July. That's good stuff. The second milestone was that developers have now earned over $50 billion. Congratulations on your success and such inspired creativity, Tim Cook said.
That's pretty awesome.
$50 billion. Now, one of the points I made in my article was that any other company that passed some kind of $50 billion milestone. Keep in mind, this is just a developer cut. So this is what, 60-70%?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that, you know, Apple has, let me actually do the correct math, even though I should be able to do this in my head. So 70.
You're not going
to
ask Siri?
No, I'm not. So 50, I think that would be divided by 0.7. $71 billion, $71.4 billion in total revenue. Meaning that Apple's cut is $21 billion. From that $21 billion, Apple's paying for all the infrastructure, the app reviewers, the, you know, Apple's paying all the cost, the transaction costs.
Sure.
So it's not $21 billion. Right, right, right. It's not $21 billion profit by any stretch of the imagination, but
no, it's, you know, just their take from the sales
reaching a milestone of $50 billion paid out to developers, or $21 billion of revenue just for Apple, or $71 billion in total business. Anyone else hitting that milestone, it would make their reputation for decades.
And for Apple, it warrants a couple tweets.
Well, yeah, which is interesting because Apple is not known for tweeting milestones.
Now, that's a good point.
It's not the way Apple usually announces anything.
Yeah, that's true too.
I can't think of an example where Apple has. Maybe did we get a tweet for like some kind of iTunes download? Maybe at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
Remember if we did.
We've gotten tweets for other things, but I think most of those also included announcements through other venues.
Right.
So the tweet was a supplement and not the primary delivery source.
Right. Right. So these are huge bits of news, and it's also kind of an extenuation of. If you remember, I was kind of observing, kind of being a little bit critical of how Tim Cook was in cheerleader mode, salesman mode,
mm-hmm.
during his opening remarks during the quarterly conference call in July. And this was the second quarter in a row where Apple was down year over year, and where Tim was selling that message really hard.
Right.
This is kind of a continuation of that. He's, you know, this message here was kind of aimed at three audiences. The first one was developers.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm thinking of Steve Ballmer. And the second one is Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the message to the developers is that, you know, yep, you picked the right platform. And if you didn't, you should be with us. And the message to Wall Street is I was serious that services is going to be a bigger and bigger deal for us.
Right.
And then the message, of course, just for Apple fans that, you know, that you're right. We're popular. You've picked the right ecosystem to be a part of.
So that's a pretty diverse set of messages for 140 characters or less.
And he didn't even use all 140 of his characters.
Yeah.
There's definitely an economy of, an economy of word usage here.
Well, and think about how big the return is going to be on that, because everyone is going to be talking about this, but we already are. So articles happening, discussions on shows, yeah. All from two tweets that combined add up to less than 280 characters.
Correct. Yeah, not bad today's work, sir.
Yeah, not bad at all. Well done, so, yeah, Apple.
And it's, you know, it is such a staggeringly large amount of money. Now, most of that money has, it's very hard to be anything but one of Apple's top developers. It's very hard to make a living.
Yeah, that's true. There's a handful of developers that make the lion's share of money off the App Store.
Right. And there is a lot of money that's being distributed amongst a lot of people. Apple has a ton of developers making iOS apps. I think there's 2 million apps now on the App Store.
Isn't that crazy?
Right? It is, in fact, actually 2 million apps. That's so insane. And Apple is focusing very hard on discovery and improving discovery. They bought companies. They've hired people. they've done internal shifts on who's in charge of what, all in an effort to improve discovery, which is one of the hardest tasks of the modern era, which is discovery online, which should not be mistaken for the network. Right. Discovery of products on the internet is one of the biggest challenges that modern retailers have.
You know, yeah, you're right. And to this day, the most common form of discovery for me is word of mouth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's also kind of expensive for me because people tell me about really cool things that I then realize I can't live without this.
Right. Even though you did.
Yeah, but I can't live without this.
Yes. Right. So it's I don't know. It's an interesting time. You know, Apple is doing well. The platform is doing well, despite recent calls for Apple to license iOS.
What is up with that?
We talked about that. I wrote about that on Friday, and we talked about it on Monday's Daily Observations with and Dave Hamilton was on that show too.
Yeah. So if you want to hear that discussion, we'll have a link in the show notes.
But put that topic in context with Apple having paid out $50 billion to developers. Now, the company with all the market share, which is Google with Android, Google has not paid out $50 billion to developers. Google's paid out a lot of money to developers. Matter of fact, mm-hmm. Google has paid out so much. If Apple weren't here to set the bar, people might actually be impressed with how much money Google's paid out to developers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But Apple did set the bar. And that $50 billion, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that has been paid out to developers since, what, 2008? Is that eight years?
Oh, that's right, because we didn't have the App Store at the beginning. So, yeah, that sounds about right.
When was the App Store actually launched?
You could ask Siri.
Hey, Siri, when was the App Store launched? I might not have that turned on this device.
Oh, I can see where that would be an issue. But right now, we have a bunch of listeners that are shouting at the podcast to let us know because Siri just told them.
July 10th, 2008. We went a year without the App Store. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it was kind of a wild year because we had all of the complaints about no native apps and Steve Jobs saying, we don't need native apps. Web apps. That's the future. Web apps. That's the future.
Web apps, yeah. But $50 billion in 8 years. In 8 years, we've gone from no third-party iOS developers to 2 million apps and $50 billion paid out in 8 years.
That's pretty crazy. There are some businesses where it takes decades to hit those kind of numbers, if they ever do.
Yeah. No one hits those numbers. I mean that's... This is so, it's so, you know, and it's so funny, and it's just, you know, it's a tweet because Apple's success, just sort of overall success, you know, dwarfs the individual accomplishments that combine to make that success. You know, Apple's Mac business, you know, if Apple was selling the numbers of Macs today, if it was selling that many Macs 10 years ago, it would be all we'd be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if Apple was selling Macs on that scale 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't be where we are today with smartphones and tablets.
I don't know, man. Steve's always looking for the... You know,
I think it would have started later than it did, is what I mean.
You remember Steve Jobs saying before he came back to Apple, he said that if he were the CEO of Apple, he would milk the Macintosh for all it was worth until he moved on to the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time, we all assumed that meant some kind of new desktop computing paradigm, like the transition from Mac to Next to OS X.
Mm-hmm.
But iPhone and iPad.
That was the next paradigm
yeah,
that they're going into.
It's just it turns out we still need the Macs too.
Sure.
We need the Macs to make the iPhones and the iPads.
And that's not going to change soon.
Yeah, it will not change anytime soon. What's our timestamp here?
Oh, we just hit 50 minutes. So people are just catching up with us right now.
Yeah, anyone who was smart enough to start the podcast and then say, "Hey Siri, skip ahead 50 minutes."
Hey, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you here. We just hit our stride. Boom. The best part about this is knowing that your laugh is genuine and you really can't stop.
I can't, man. Well, now I'm getting to the point where I can, but that's just, I love that. I love the idea that someone actually would do that. That just delights me, you know, someone firing up the Apple context machine and then asking Siri to skip ahead 50 minutes. I mean, that's I just love that. I absolutely love it. I mean, I don't know why I love that. I have a problem.
But we love you.
I have multiple problems. But that is hilarious to me. That's funny. Anyway, yeah, welcome to the show.
And, you know, that laugh was so awesome. I may have to cut or copy that out and turn it into a ringtone for people. Huh. Oh, now it's not funny, is it?
Yeah, so it came a little less funny. You could ask Jeff for my family rendition of Happy Birthday instead.
That is the ringtone for Brian on my iPhone. I am not kidding.
If I had my iPhone here in the office with me, I would actually call you right now so that people could hear it.
I can do better than that. I can just go find it.
Well, no, but then it's not. You know, then it's not spontaneous.
No, it won't be spontaneous.
Yeah, and they heard it. That actually was made for the show, you know.
That's true. Yeah, that was a Christmas special.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Was it OS 10?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, good times.
Look what I just found. Anyhow,
good times.
Yeah. So whenever you call, that's what comes out of my pants, assuming I'm wearing them, and people look.
I bet I I bet they do. All right. Well, believe it or not, that is our show for this week.
Well, I just realized everyone jumped ahead right to the part where they get to hear you laugh.
Yeah.
And then yeah. I do the music thing like this. Yeah. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
And though they may deny it to their dying breath, our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And even if you always skip ahead 50 minutes, stay subscribed.
We'll see you. We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.